Hello, Internet. This is Anne from the future. Woo! You're listening to PCAPI Podcast. This show was started in 2011 by a younger me who didn't really know a lot about audio and how to start a podcast, just kind of, you know, Googled it and winged it, which can be great. It really is in the spirit of the OG Pokemon series that it's just, we didn't know what we were doing. We just kind of winged it. But the downside is that this podcast, the audio of the first episode is not super great. It gets better. I promise it gets better. I stop editing on Windows Movie Maker, and that alone makes a huge difference. But if you're listening to this first episode today, please keep in mind, the audio's not great. I know it. You know it. We all know it. It was a long time ago. Also, because it was recorded like a decade ago or more, depending on when you're listening to this, this is Anne from the future. Ash's journeys have ended. When I started this, the future was a wide open expanse. We were in like Sinnoh, like who knows what was on the horizon for us. So there may be things said that were proved later to be different, like how many times Team Rocket appears in an episode, what journeys Ash might go on in the future, how many tournaments he's won and where he's placed. Again, I know it, you know it, we all know it, but we didn't know it in 2011, so there's no need to send in angry emails. But if you want to contact this podcast for any other reason, we can be found anywhere fine RSS feeds are located. We can be found at pcapipodcast.blogspot.com or pcapipodcast@gmail.com. And you can also find me and this podcast and anything else I'm doing on the internet at yesand.com. So thank you everybody for listening. We'll get into the show and protect your ears. And thank you for joining me on this wild and wonderful journey that is Ash Ketchum's trip through Kanto. Bye. Pika pika Pikachu. Hello, and welcome to PKP Podcast, revisiting our childhood with Episode 5, Showdown at Pewter City. This episode opens with Team Rocket and their classic hole-digging trap, which backfires on them in less than a minute. In the meantime, Team Ash finally finds their way out of the forest. It was only like 2 or 3 episodes, but it felt like 4 freaking ever, man. And anyway, they meet a strange old guy who sounds like Seto Kaiba from Yu-Gi-Oh! His name is Flint, and he sells rocks for a living, which I can't imagine is all that lucrative of a business in a city like Pewter, which is rocks as far as the eye can see. He tries to sell Ash some rocks as souvenirs, but the only souvenir Ash wants is a gym badge, so it's off to the Pokemon Center to become confuddled by all the many identical Nurse Joys. This one is the older sister to the Nurse Joy in Viridian. She claims to have heard nice things about Ash, which can only mean that the Viridian's joy decided to water down the part of the story where Ash blew up the Pokemon Center. Ash gets all excited about the Pokemon Regional Championships, thanks to a poster on the wall, but Misty and Flint don't think Ash can actually get 8 gym badges. Misty, as we'll learn, is very familiar with the requirements for gym badges, and she's seen Ash battle. And Flint is very confident in Brock's abilities. Very confident. Misty offers to help Ash out, but he refuses. All this takes place while Ash's Pokemon are getting healed, which happens in real time, not instantly, like the games. This is the first center that Ash has used the regular services of, rather than the emergency room, and it seems to be one of the few Poco centers that doesn't offer free food, as Misty is seen sticking Ash with a check when they catch lunch. After his Pokemon are healed, Ash enters the gym for his first ever gym battle. Let's take a look at his lineup. Pikachu and Pidgeotto aren't going to be much help at all against a rock type, but he does have a Butterfree, so his chances are not too shabby. It might be tricky, but he has decent odds. Brock works hard to maintain dramatic impact when Ash challenges him, and outlines the special rules of his gym.
He seems overly critical of Ash, but then again, Brock probably sees a lot of newbie trainers, and Ash clearly doesn't know what he's doing if he's showing up on Brock's doorstep with a Pikachu. The Pewter Gym is pretty awesome, with a giant rocky field that can be retracted. Ash and Pikachu try not to be intimidated or crushed. Pikachu starts off willing to fight the gym battle, but once he sees Onix, he changes his mind and tries to tag out one of the other Pokemon, which would have been an extremely, extremely good idea, except Pikachu tried to tag Pidgeotto. But Ash guilts Pikachu into staying out there. And I'm always amazed that Ash knows exactly which Pokemon are in which Pokeball when he, like, grabs them behind his back. I guess he has them in some sort of order to, like, keep it all straight. Predictably, Thundershock does not do any damage, and Onix is, like, 1.5 million times bigger, so Ash is ready to throw in the towel in under a minute. Interestingly, he tries to call Pikachu back into its Pokeball, something that never, ever, ever works, even if it's not being blocked by Onix. It's odd that Ash would try, but since he can't recall it, he ends up forfeiting the match for Pikachu's sake. In defeat, Ash leaves the gym and Flint tries to cheer Ash up and also gives some insight into Brock's home life. We see that the family lives in a house behind the gym, and it's kind of got a traditional Japanese flair to it, at least some rooms. They have one or two traditional rooms with tatami floors and sliding doors. More importantly, Brock has a whole swarm of siblings to take care of. And because of this, according to Bulbapedia, the ultimate Pokemon wiki, this episode introduced the most named recurring characters in the entire anime. However, given that it introduced Brock's siblings, it had an unfair advantage over the other episodes. If Gary's cheerleaders had ever been named, the honor would have gone to the first episode. So that's interesting. But Brock is tied down to Pewter because of those siblings, taking care of them because his good-for-nothing dad ran off to become a Pokemon trainer and never came back. And his mom, depending on which language you watch, is either dead or left the family. If you watched it in English, she's not dead. Flint's totally lying, as Lola is most definitely alive. And either way, Brock's family is really, really, really screwed up. Ash, despite the defeat and the sob story, decides he's going to go for a rematch. And as usual, that pesky type advantage thing means nothing, because his plan is to focus all his training on powering up Pikachu, not, say, using that Butterfree. Flint decides to help with this, which shows us exactly why he's not a famous Pokemon trainer and is instead selling rocks by the edge of the city. So they hook Pikachu up to a hydroelectric plant, and Ash starts moving the wheel like he's in a hamster cage. Misty again offers help, and Ash again refuses, proving that there is honor in Team Satoshi, as well as insanity. At dawn, they challenge the gym, and Brock and Ash both dare to be different, sending out Geodude and Pidgeotto. "Use Butterfree, you fool! You fool, you fool, you fool!" Eventually, Ash is forced to send out Pikachu, who makes quick work of Geodude. How? This should be impossible? But it works. Geodude is fried to a crisp. And Pikachu has very little aim and sets off the emergency sprinkler system, which helps them to take down Onix, but Ash's conscience holds him back. Ash's conscience is actually Brock's siblings, draped all over him and physically holding him down, but Ash's real conscience kicks in and he decides to throw the match. He says it's because the sprinklers going off made the match unfair, but the small flashback suggests that he also recognizes that Brock had already stopped the match so as not to cause unnecessary harm to Pikachu, and yeah, Ash kinda needs to pay that back. Either way, Ash vows to return another time and have a fair battle. Ash wins the moral victory, but he and Pikachu are still pretty bummed when Brock catches up to them later and offers Ash the Boulder Badge. He claims that Ash did beat him in battle, which makes sense, despite the sprinklers, because they are a legitimate part of the gym's terrain. And Brock is also impressed by Ash's morals. Brock reveals his dream of being a breeder and asks Ash to carry on both their dreams. Ash agrees, and at that moment, Flint reveals that he's actually Brock's dad! Gasp! Brock is remarkably calm throughout all of this and decides not to give the hateful, tongue-lashing Flint expects. In fact, I sometimes wonder if he knew Flint was that crazy rock seller on the edge of town. But if Flint resolves to take care of his family, Brock decides to let him, and passes the mantle of responsibility along. Surprisingly, Brock decides to join Ash as a traveling companion, which makes their friendship so fascinating. Because, unlike Misty, Brock doesn't have a reason to follow Ash at all. He doesn't have to, you know, hound him for a bike, or he definitely doesn't need Ash for, you know, directions or anything. So it's just cool. Does Brock not want to be alone, or is he drawn to Ash's personality? But anyway, the two run off and Misty chases close behind, and Team Rocket has absolutely no bearing on the plot whatsoever, and the episode closes. There were some interesting errors in this episode noted on Bulbapedia. Again, awesome, awesome wiki site. And I'm going to read them out just because they were so hilarious. But when Pikachu is getting charged at the hydroelectric plant, the electric current is shown to be going from the machine to Pikachu through both wires. This is physically impossible. The current should flow through one wire to Pikachu and back to the machine through the other wire, completing the circuit. And also at the hydroelectric plant, the current coursing through Pikachu increases more and more despite the fact that Ash keeps the water wheel rotating at the constant speed. This violates conservation of energy. Go team! But if you'd like to contact us, you can visit the blog, www.peekapeepodcast.blogspot.com. And next week we're going to be doing episode 6, Clefairy and the Moonstone. You can also visit us at our VideoJug page, which is at www.videojugpages.com/sites/3844. Or if you just get on videojugpages.com and enter in the search engine either Pokemon Episode Guide, Pokemon Podcast, Drama Watcher in the search engine, it should take you right to us. The blog updates always have links to VideoJug, where you can find the show notes and any macros I've made. And if you have a VideoJug account, I recommend that you follow us there, because the VideoJug site is always the first one to be updated. But if you prefer the blog, it is also updated fairly quickly, as quickly as I can manage anyway. And we look forward to hearing from you and hearing your thoughts on all the Pokemon episodes, your memories of your childhood, and your conspiracy theories as to why all the nurse joys look alike. But thank you for listening. This has been Pika P Podcast, and hopefully we'll see you next time. Pikachu, Pikachu, Pikachu. Pikachu! Pikachu!